Hello, welcome to Left Out on WRCT 88.3. I'm Danny Slater.
And I'm Guy Blalock.
And Left Out is a public affairs program that presents news and views that are left out of the mainstream media. Normally, the program is hosted by me and Bob Harper, but today Guy Blalock is substituting for Bob, who's out of town. Today's program is produced by Bojangles' Bobby Sierra. Listeners are welcome to call us at 412-621-9728. Today we have a great show in store for you. We have a couple of phone guests. The first one is already on the line waiting to come on. Congresswoman Jane Harman from California, who is the ranking minority member of the House Select Committee on Intelligence. And she knows a lot about what's going on in Congress and what's going on with the recent intelligence reports coming out of the Senate. And we'd like to talk to her today about those issues and other things as well. Congressman Harman, are you there?
I'm here, and while I'm talking to you, votes are going on the House floor, so I don't have too much time, but I'm really happy to talk to you and your listeners.
Thanks very much for agreeing to do this for us, and we'll just go on as long as you can, and if you have to leave, we'll deal with that.
Okay.
So you issued a press release regarding the recent Senate intelligence report. Do you want to just summarize what you think about the report and what it means and what's good and bad about the report?
Well, I think it's a very good report. There's nothing bad about the report. The only thing bad is that it only covers half of the issues. What it basically says is that the sources and the analysis on which the WMD claims were based, the weapons of mass destruction claims in Iraq, were wrong. We didn't have enough sources, and the analysis reached the wrong conclusions based on the sources we had. I agree with that, and I think the fact that it was presented on a unanimous bipartisan basis is extremely commendable. But then there's some stuff missing, and what's missing is how did policymakers use the information? And the Senate did not explore whether those facts that fit the administration's preconceived views were cherry-picked or whether the administration exaggerated some of the claims. And that's going to be phase two, but not until after the election.
Yeah. So, Guy, did you have a comment about that?
Yeah, I guess the question that, that comes up is, like you said, is how do you interpret? I guess the report mostly concentrated on the national intelligence estimate.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, what did that estimate say and how much of that was, real and how much of it was exaggerated, and then how did people interpret that? And so what you're saying is the second part, which is how people interpret that, hasn't really been looked at.
That's right. But what it did say was wrong. I mean, we still have some conclusions we can reach right now. It said in its unclassified portions, for example, Iraq has chemical and biological weapons. Iraq is reconstituting its nuclear capability. None of that is true. And none of it was really supported by the sources that were there. And I know that because after the fact, the intelligence committees were permitted to read all the sources. And on the House side, we sent a letter almost a year ago, to former Director of Central Intelligence George Tenet with our preliminary findings, which were very much in line with what the Senate found after a lot more work than we did. And let me just say this, because I'm afraid I'm going to have to say goodbye to you folks very shortly. And this is it. We can spend more time probing the past, but the real important issue is what are we going to do about it? Are we going to learn these lessons and fix the problems? And what worries me very much is that this administration is not admitting that there are problems and is not embracing many of the bipartisan ideas out there to fix them. For example, to set up someone to coordinate all 15 intelligence agencies instead of letting them operate independent of each other, to make certain that we red team, that is, we vet all of the theories that we have about these sources that we're collecting, to make sure we invest more in human intelligence and technical means and all of these things. This administration is trying to kick the can down the road until next year for all of this. And I think this election ought to be at least in part about this. We went to war in Iraq based on false intelligence. How do we make sure we don't use false intelligence again?
Yeah, so Right, but the whole, right, exactly. This idea of just postponing everything that's damning to the administration as long as possible, and that the media sort of picked up this notion that, well, this report shows that the CIA really screwed up, and we have these problems with the intelligence services, and it doesn't point the finger at the administration.
Point. Well, let me say this as I sign off. The president is the commander in chief. Intelligence is a critical part of our warfighting capacity. The way we target weapons, the decisions we make about what to do, are based on intelligence. Unless we fix our intelligence problem, the president is not fulfilling his full responsibilities as commander-in-chief. This issue goes beyond the CIA, and I think that voters are smart enough to know that. And I'm very happy I could be on your program briefly. I do apologize, but I've got about 30 seconds
okay.
to go and vote.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So, there were a number of other questions that Guy and I had thought we could talk about with Congresswoman Harmon.
Well, I mean, one thing I could do is go through. So there was this report on Friday, which we're talking about, that came out, was released, and it was really in response to one particular document that was printed and that was sent to various organizations on October 2002.
Before the vote for authorizing the Bush to go to war.
Yeah, it was right before the congressional vote. And this report goes through and looks at all aspects of that document and basically argues that there were all sorts of exaggerations. And I thought the conclusions are actually very concisely written, and I thought it might be worth going over what the first five conclusions
okay.
of that report were.
Well, before you do that, let me just mention one more time the phone number, 412-621-9728. Your calls are welcome, and we're discussing issues for this program, mostly national issues. So go ahead, Guy.
Okay, so it goes through, there's a lot of conclusions in it, but the first five are, it says, most of the major key judgments in the national intelligence estimate were either overstated or were not supported by the underlying intelligence reporting. So then it goes on details on how it was really, there was no backup for a lot of the claims in that report, which was then what Congress decided, you know, used for their vote. The second thing it said is that the report failed to adequately explain to the policymakers the uncertainty behind the judgments. So the report apparently had a lot of judgments in there about various risks, but it did not talk about the fact that there were dissenting opinions, etc. The third thing it mentions was this effect of what they call groupthink, which was basically they said that the intelligence community all got together and they sort of thought as a group and didn't go out and challenge each other. And in particular, it mentions this idea of red teaming, which was just mentioned by Hartman. And they said that that the red teaming was a way that you basically challenge each other, and that this wasn't used in this report, that there was no challenging of the different views. The fourth conclusion had to do with this idea of layering, and they said a lot of the information was layered in the sense that there was some information that then someone else wrote another report, then someone else wrote another report without any additional information. So each report was sort of at one more level of indirection and one level more, not definite. And so there were several cases where things were layered on top of each other.
So in other words, when that happens, you lose the context of the original information and it gets distorted.
Yeah,
it's exaggerated the reliability of the information or some of the content or the conclusions.
Yeah, each layer, it's like this game where you sit around in a circle and one person whispers into the ear of the next person. And by
right,
the time
telephone,
it comes,
yeah.
telephone, it comes back to you and it's a different story.
Yeah.
But the problem with layering is that each time you see a new report with the same information, you have a tendency to then believe it more, even though there's no new information.
Right. It confirms it in your mind.
It confirms. Yeah. You said, I've heard this once before, and here it is again, when in fact the second time around it was just layered on top of the first version. And then the fifth one it talks about was that there was really, let me just read it out. In each instance where the committee found an analytic or collection failure resulted in part from a failure of the IC, okay, IC stands for information intelligence community. A failure of the intelligence community managers throughout the leadership chain to adequately supervise the work of the analysis and collectors. So it basically says the problem was all the way up and down, and I think the point is that we have to bring it all the way to the top because, as we discussed before, ultimately, the president is the commander-in-chief. So the failure was from top to bottom.
How does this relate to things like what we've seen? Well, maybe this is jumping ahead a little bit in time. So this mainly refers to something that was the report, the NIE, that was written in the fall of 2002. Then in February of 2003, we had, well, first of all, there were the inspections that were going on throughout the early 2003, the inspections by the UN,
that's
Hans
right.
Blix.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gathered a lot of information. And then there was the great presentation by Colin Powell on February 5th, 2003, in which he supposedly laid out this vast array of proof of the terrible things that Saddam Hussein was doing. And the evidence was very compelling to the mainstream media, and they picked it up as though it was a grand slam, promoted it heavily. But even at that time, people like me, who were reading the non-mainstream media, were very skeptical of that. And I wrote to my friends that half of this what he says is garbage. That's what I said at the time. Now we know that actually much more of it was garbage. So I guess none of that really is addressed by this report at all. It's all sort of prior to that period of time.
Well, the report does go a little bit into the information that led to Colin Powell's report. And in fact, another major shortcoming they mention in here was the so-called human intelligence, which was all these so-called people that had, left Iraq, defectors, and had given this information. And a lot of Colin Powell's speech was based on this indirect information from from defectors.
Right. Like the biological weapons, the mobile weapons labs, right.
Yeah. And it talks about how now in retrospect we can see that a lot of these defectors were actually fed to the intelligence agencies via the Iraqi National Congress, which was this organization paid for,
by the Defense Department, right?
Defense Department, yeah. To basically, find, eventually to overthrow Saddam Hussein. But they had basically dug up these so-called defectors and had them report all of this information, which now turns out all to be false. And so the question the report asks is, well, how could the intelligence community really base all this fact on, or supposed fact on, indirect knowledge instead of direct knowledge, and not question the fact that all these defectors were coming from the same source?
Yeah, I see. Okay. Yes. Well, that's interesting. And another question I had for Congresswoman Harman was, it was just a kind of rhetorical question about this so-called dispute that's going on about the Saddam al-Qaeda link, where the Senate committee basically said there is no link, and we've looked at everything, and we looked at everything again, and there isn't anything at all. And Cheney keeps going around saying there is a link, which seems to just be a lie, and I don't know. A question I had for her was, well, how does a guy get away with that without, getting skewered by somebody, the media or the public or something?
To get back to the report and that particular topic of that link, is the one thing the report does say is that the CIA was quite accurate on that particular link. In particular, the CIA at the time did not believe there was a link between al-Qaeda, or at least had very little evidence of any link between al-Qaeda and Saddam. And the National Intelligence Estimate actually quite specifically said that. even, you know, in November 2002. And since then, there's been no additional. So in some sense, there's never been any evidence of this link. But the administration keeps pushing it as if there was some justifiable evidence when there's overwhelming evidence that there
isn't. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no.
It's unbelievable. It's like the German, you know, repeated enough times, the propaganda campaign, it repeats something enough times and it's going to just, people just absorb it. And it's true that the American people have apparently continued to, well, I don't know what the latest polls show, but up, you know, 6 months ago, there were polls saying that 60% of Americans believe there was a link.
Right.
I don't know whether that's still.
Well, apparently Dick Cheney, you know, is so obsessed with this that he actually believes, at least he's told people, that Saddam Hussein was actually responsible for the first World Trade Center bombing, which was in 1994. And so he seems quite obsessed with this idea that somehow Saddam Hussein is, you know, tied in with al-Qaeda. I mean, maybe he really believes this. And question.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should take a musical break in 1 second. Let me just mention again, this is Left Out on WRCT. You can give us a call at 412-621-9728. After the break, we're going to have another call-in guest, I hope, Jules Lobel, who is a professor at University of Pittsburgh, involved in the Center for Constitutional Rights. Anyway, let's take a break and give us a call.
I don't care if you Portland jail. Ain't nobody gonna stop me from getting my hamburger and a cup of coffee. That's all I want.